This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, guys. DTS and KMOX 233. Kevin Wheeler is just at home. Just worked out better for him to be at home today. So he is on one of the little Matrix machines with us. One more thought before we move on about this generational thing, because I think it's interesting and I think it's important. Trish, you were saying on the break that you think that Gen Z, which would be my daughter, up to, I guess, people like around 20 or so, that they are very different in the way that they don't self-identify through just their job, although they're still very young, but you don't think that that's going to be a thing for them?
No, yeah, I just read this article. People are not making their identity all about their job anymore. It's not the end-all, be-all. They want to be happy at home. They want to be happy with their partner or their kids or in their neighborhood. The job is secondary, where, you know, we all... That was the main thing. You got to get a good job. It's, you know, if you got fired, oh my God, it was the end of the world. That's why we're kind of seeing the great job resignation too, because people aren't putting up with stuff that they don't have to anymore. They're seeing better opportunities other places. And for this age of people where this is their first real job, they were also saying this is really going to change the workplace, the pandemic, because they want to work from home, they want to do it on their terms, and it's really changing the way employers are enforcing work hours. Yeah. And just in the office work, and I think it's all going to look different, and it's going to be them who's changing it the better.
I think the younger generation gets a bad rap as far as, oh my God, you're so materialistic and everything's just about what you want and you're being marketed constantly through TikTok and all these different apps. But try this one out. Like, I think my generation was the most exploited. Like, growing up the way I did in a small town, working class environment, like, my life was set out in front of me. If you're not married by the time you're 25, there's something wrong with you, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't have kids, there's something wrong with you. And if you move away, there's something wrong with you. And if you don't go work at the refinery, you know, it was just...
And have a house.
It was just very... And I think that maybe of course, the machine took advantage of that. Like, every one of these people are going to want a house. Every one of these people are going to want the nicest car that they can, you know, afford the payments. Every one of these people are going to want this. And now they have to figure it all out again because the next generation's like, yeah, screw you. I'm not going to buy these things or make my life about these things just because you tell me to.
And also on a more superficial level, everything was labels with us too. Not that it isn't with them, but there were only so many to choose from. The way the younger people buy these days, they're not buying, you know, that necessarily that top brand or that top label. They'll go shop and get a deal and go on Amazon or these boutiques online or go to rummage store. I'm saying rummage, that ages me. You know, they're not as, yes, of course they like nice things, but they're not as concerned with that number one label. It doesn't seem like.
Yeah. And one more thing I'll say about like jobs and stuff. I think the pandemic has really brought to light for Gen Z, but also for other generations, like, you can give everything to your career and your career ultimately does not care about you. So I think for the first time in a long time, the workers are holding all the cards. We see with these supply chain issues and millions of people outside. I think right now, 8 million people in the United States are out sick with COVID and stuff starts to fall apart when you don't have people working. A lot of people have never been able to tap into that mentality before because it's always been, you are so lucky to be employed and you should kiss your employer's boots for even allowing you to be here. That was the mentality my whole life up until 2020, like seriously. And then a layperson can look around and go, no, I'm the one helping keeping this stuff moving. You obviously need the people on top to provide the opportunities, but if no one's there, boots on the ground, stuff doesn't get done. So I think that knowledge is really empowering workers all across the country.
Agreed.
And that's why you're seeing a huge attitude shift.
It's true. Like, I like my immediate bosses a lot. I don't know the people above them. Mm-hmm. So I have no relationship with them. I've told this story before, but probably not on KMOX. And I think it's an interesting story. About 7 years ago, my contract was up over at Emmis. And the second guy in command, who is the head of all programming for the whole company, flew into town because we were sort of at a little bit of an impasse with the contract. And he had a piece of paper, a deal memo, and he was in a bad mood because he later apologized. But you know how it is when you're in a bad mood, you usually say what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, Dave, I have a number written on this piece of paper. I have two numbers, how much you bring in and how much you want to be paid. I could black out your name and make a decision on this. And up until then, I was very romantic about that company. Like, they saved me from a job I hated and given me this career and I'm number one and I'm blah, 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 blah. And it was like your significant other just going like, you know what? I could just get in bed, put a sack over your head. I don't care who you are because I just want sex, right? That's how it felt. Like, I could black out your name. I don't give a crap. It's how much money you make me. Mm-hmm. Later that day, he called and apologized and he meant it. But something snapped inside me in a good way. It was very freeing. I was like, oh, this is really just about business, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, they like me. I like them. But at the end of the day, if I bring in
it's a number,
it's about their bottom line,
and I want 1.5, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
Money.
Yeah.
And
you know,
go ahead, Wheels.
I say it's interesting because, you know, that's the real world. But I think generations older than ours, Dave. So you, Trish, and I were all about the same. Ours is the first generation that learned the hard lessons, because it used to be, you mentioned pensions a couple times in the last couple of days. Nobody has them, but all of our parents did.
Yeah.
You know, all of our grandparents did.
Mm-hmm.
And jobs were like, a career was stable when you were in those previous generations, right? Like, you get a job and you're going to be there for 25 years and you're going to get your gold watch when you retire and you're going to have a pension when you retire.
That's right.
And our generation was like, what was that 80s movie with Michael Keaton with the automotive industry where the
Gung
Japanese
Ho.
Company was?
I can't believe I know that.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the 80s is when that all started,
that up at the
right?
Rubbish shop.
Yeah, but like the 80s is really when we started to learn about outsourcing and careers changing and job jumping, even though, you know, you're in your 40s, you might switch jobs. And I think that's an interesting change because the younger generation doesn't even look at it now like, I want to be somewhere 25 years and have a pension and an office and have a good retirement fund. Well, like, it's just not that way.
Another thing to consider, too, for people that are like my age, Rachel's age, when I turned 18 and technically became an adult and entered the workforce, that was the year of the 2008 recession.
Mm-hmm.
So we really have spent our entire adult lives thus far underneath very much that, you know, oppressive maybe isn't the right word, but that sort of oppressive ceiling of like,
how are most of your friends,
you could lose your job at any second.
How are most of your friends doing? Who are between 28 and 33? Just in life, careers.
I mean, everybody's working.
Do they have homes? Do they care if they have homes?
I don't have a lot of friends that have homes.
Is that a goal? I mean, does it matter, I guess?
It matters, but I feel like to a lot of people, it feels unattainable. I think that, I mean, so I have like a handful. Like, my brother is, to me, a success for our generation. He is a home and a family, and he's very much on like this traditional path, and I really look up to him. I don't have, you know, 20 other examples to give you of someone who's in a solid career, owns their own home in a traditional family. I think, you know, my friends are employed. They make a living. I have some who are working in careers. I have some who are doing, you know, gig work and retail and stuff like that. But I just feel like for some people, it just feels like it's not really even an option to like settle down and buy a home, because like Wheeler was saying, we just don't have as many opportunities for like, this is your career and you're going to retire with this company. Like, it just doesn't even seem possible for people.
Sorry.
How does that sound to you guys? Like, if I were to say, hey, if you want, we could bring something else to the table. You could go, if you choose, work at this factory, refinery, what have you, Amazon, make a good wage, spend the next 40 years there, get a good pension. Would that be attractive to you and your generation, do you think?
It's attractive to me.
Yeah,
can I add, because the point I want to make is exactly what you're saying and kind of what Wheeler was saying. Because just to talk about my dad for a second, factory guy, Anheuser-Busch, 35 years, put four girls. I'm so proud of what he did. I mean, he probably at his height made 50, 60,000. But every time that phone rang at midnight, he went in to work overtime because you got paid double and half. Put four girls through Catholic high school, some through college. Owns his own home. It's paid off. Has a nice little nest egg to where, you know, they don't have to do anything. He draws from his pension every month. There were so many jobs like that. They are not there anymore. Plus, there weren't as many bosses then. There weren't five VPs to one head boss. You know, the boss-employee ratio was much bigger back then. And you could do that on a job like that. You could have a home, a nice upbringing, raise your kids, and not struggle as much. Name a career now, like a mid-level career where you could do all that.
This leads into another related topic I wanted to talk about, but it was basically, I know that we're like the communist show, but I've really come around so much in the last few years toward, because it used to be like, well, everyone deserves a living wage, and the Jack Glover in me would come out, and I'm like, yeah, if they go out there and they pull themselves up by the bootstraps and blah, 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 blah. But Andrew, you've said things over the years like, well, you need the opportunity to make the living wage. And Trish, like you're saying, like, shouldn't we in America, because we do noodle with things, like if you're going to noodle, then noodle for everybody. If you're going to twist the screwdriver and make these changes and socially engineer, then why don't you socially engineer it to where you can have that choice?
Yeah, do it the other way. They're noodling the wrong way. They're giving the people at the top way too much.
Well, that's just it. A lot of it is, I think, founded on that idea of the trickle-down economics. We've been working with that for a long time in this country, and I just don't think that that really works. The idea is that when you give corporations a lot of money and tax breaks and things, then they'll be able to pay their employees more and hire more people. And instead, what we're seeing is the people at the higher end are keeping that money while also cutting as much as they can out from the bottom. As few employees as they can employ, as few, as little wage as they can possibly pay them and still keep things running.
And we have more accessible treats to keep us preoccupied than we ever have in human history.
What do you mean?
To keep us warm and happy. We have Netflix. DoorDash. And, you know, subscription services that they're $8 a month. What's $8 a month? And they just kind of keep you happy. So you can get more things with less money. They're less quality things. But it's like you get these more distractions to get you through day by day.
Yeah.
And you're spending your money in those ways when in the past, I didn't, just like for me growing up, we didn't accumulate the amount of stuff that people do now. You know, like we didn't get a toy when we went to the store. You got a toy if it was your birthday or if it was Christmas or you got straight A's on your report card. But it just seems like nowadays it's like, oh, we're going to Target. If my kid's quiet, I'll get her a Barbie. But that's the way the economy seems to work. Like I don't know. It just seems like things are priced down low. To
way
where
more
you can,
frilly.
Yeah. There's all these little things that you can occupy yourself with, and it's way harder to get to the bigger stuff.
We're buying
stuff.
A lot more dessert than meat these days.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, we figured that out, didn't we?
So now what?
You're welcome, audience. Tell you about affordable kitchens and baths.
Stop buying your kids Barbies at the Target. That's
what
all
you
I
do
have
without
to say.
Us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.